other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you. Glad to have you here on the show today. We've got, once again, a great show. We're going to be talking about some very important topics that I think you're going to want to listen to, particularly if you need some guidance in your life, if you need some direction, some encouragement with whatever you're going through. There's a wonderful gift that the Church has given us in prayer that we're going to be talking about a little bit later here on the show. And talking to, who's that? Well, we're going to have Bishop Andrew Cousins. He's going to stop by and talk to us a little bit about this unique form of prayer. And we're also going to be talking about a special event coming in the Twin Cities, August 1st, the Convoy of Hope. And they have a marvelous faith-based operation for those who are disadvantaged, those who need help. And we're going to give you an opportunity to jump on the bandwagon there. But hope you're having a great time. Hey, last week I had the experience, the Minnesota experience. And I'm not talking about hot dish, and I'm not talking about what is it, Paul, that fish we eat that in this state?
Lutefisk.
I'm not talking about.
And we use we very broadly because it doesn't include some of us.
Well, I guess there's nobody here then because I don't do that lutefisk stuff. I'd actually rather eat a bar of soap. But no, you know what the Minnesota experience is, and it's not the big get-together that's coming up, the state fair, but it's that phrase, are you going to the lake? Everybody, are you going to the lake this weekend? We don't have a cabin up north, but we do go to the lake. And this last weekend, we went to the lake. We went up north in the Brainerd area. Some good friends of ours invited us up, and we spent a couple days on the weekend up there, and that's fun. You know, it's a lot of fun to go up to the lake and meet people, and you build a fire out by the lake and just sit around and you go out to eat. Kind of relaxing. Coming back's a little bit different on 94, but we moved through that. So we're going to talk about this form of prayer today, and I've got to ask you the question, and it's an interesting question. If you could spend say 15 minutes a day with anybody in the world, if you could spend 15 minutes a day with the same person for the rest of your life, who would it be? Who would you choose to spend 15 minutes with? Now, right away, some people are going to be thinking, maybe it's a movie star or an athlete or something like that. But no, I'm talking bigger than that. Who would you spend, in all of history, who would you spend 15 minutes with each day? Paul's pointing to the cross here in the Relevant Radio studios, and that's my answer too. And that is, if I could spend 15 minutes with anybody every day, like a scheduled event, it would be Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, what if it was 2,000 years ago? Just kind of go back a little time travel for a moment, and you go back 2,000 years, and you could spend 15 minutes with Jesus. You could have a cup of coffee. You could walk by the beach. You could drive in the car. Wherever, every day. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, that's what today's show is about. Because the answer is, you can do that. You can do that. And I think sometimes we need to shift our perspective on things of faith. When we talk about prayer, I say, well, how's your prayer life? You know what the most common answer is? The most common answer is, well, it could be better. That's the typical answer. It's over the top. I'm bubbling over and I can't even stand any more time with God because it's just so good. You don't hear that, but you usually hear, well, it could be better. And we want to talk about that today. How could it be better? And if you could choose someone, would it be Jesus that you would talk to every day? And if you talked to him, what would you tell him? Would you tell him about your cares? Would you tell him about your fears? Would you tell him about some of the anxiety that you're facing? Maybe you've got some things on your mind, like here we are in the middle of summer, and your kids are going to be going to a Catholic school this fall, and maybe it's the first time that you've enrolled your kids to a Catholic school, and you're kind of wondering about the money. You know, how are you going to pay for it? Or you're something happened in the family with a sickness and you're a little bit worried about your income coming up this fall. Or maybe somebody has come down with an illness in your family and it's been very, very tough for you. Well, if you could talk to Jesus about it, that would be amazing. And this is something that I think, you know, a lot of us, we don't quite grasp this, and that is that in prayer, God really does want to talk to you. He really does. St. Augustine put it this way, Jesus thirsts that you would thirst for him. And God really, really, really wants to talk to you. And he does that in his word, sacred scripture. He actually talks to you. And you can actually talk to God. Now, it used to be, you know, I heard someone say one time that, well, a Christian, you know, somebody who talks to God is a Christian. When God talks to that person, they're crazy. Well, I don't think so. Because you know why? Because the church teaches us that God has created us in such a way that we can not only talk to him, but we can hear him. And we have been created in such a way that we can respond to him. So if God could speak to you for a few minutes every day in sacred scripture through a four-step practice or exercise, if he could speak to you every day personally, and you could take what he says into your life that day, wouldn't it make your day more interesting? Well, I think it would. Because when you spend time with Jesus at the beginning of the day, which, by the way, I think is the optimum time for most people, because there's a basic principle, and that basic principle is that you give God the best of your day. And oftentimes, that's the beginning when you're fresh, you're awake, you've got the whole day ahead of you, and God can speak into your life in a very personal way. And then as you get in the car and you go to work or you start driving the kids around or whatever it might be, you will be surprised at how many times that what you heard in the morning from the Lord is applicable to the situations that you encounter throughout the day. And that's what makes life so exciting, is to walk with Jesus, is to walk with him and to communicate with him. And this whole exercise of Lectio Divina, Pope Benedict XVI said something about it that's kind of mind-blowing, really. You know what he said? He said that it's the key to the new springtime. It's the key to the new springtime. Now, he could have said all kinds of things are the key to the new springtime. He could have said, you know, potluck dinners after church. That's the key to the new springtime. Or he could have said that this particular novena or this prayer or going on a mission trip, or, you know, he could have said a lot of things, but he said one. He said, Lectio Divina, which means the divine reading of Scripture, is the key to the new springtime. So let me ask you a question on this beautiful, beautiful summer day. Could you use a springtime in your life? Not literally, because we're in summer. We don't want to exchange that. But in your heart, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, could you use a new springtime in your life? If you could, then I want to introduce you to Lectio Divina. Now, real quickly, let me tell you just kind of what it is, and then we're gonna be taking a break. And when we come back, we're gonna talk with Bishop Cousins a little bit about that. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this, and then we'll bring Bishop Cousins in. But here's basically, well, let me do this. I'm going to take a break right now, and then I think what we'll do is when we come back, I'm going to give you a little rundown on what is Lectio Divina, what do you need for it, how much time will it take, and then after that, we're going to talk with Bishop Andrew Cousins, who's going to be stopping by to tell us a little bit more in depth about that. So you're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Don't go away. We're going to learn how to talk to Jesus on a daily basis. Rediscover.
The spiritual life requires, in a sense, most of our best energy, if you will.
The Inner Life with Chuck Neff.
Again, that's the beauty of it, because while it might seem to be all-encompassing, it really begins to allow us to do so many other things. I hear this all the time with people who make an effort and then really commit to a holy hour, where they began thinking, I'm not going to ever be able to do this, they find that not only are they able to commit on a regular basis, daily or weekly, to this holy hour, they now find themselves having so much more time for other things that are just as important, family and prayer. That's the beautiful thing about God. He's never outdone in generosity. So if we put in the work, if you will, in our own prayer lives, in our acts of kindness and charity to others, that will bear fruit in our lives. And again, we can't expect this to happen immediately. It does require patience and perseverance. You have to stay with it.
Rock solid Catholic spiritual direction. The Inner Life with Chuck Neff. Weekdays 11 Central, 12 Eastern on Relevant Radio.
We are your people.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour, talking about talking with Jesus today on the Rediscover Hour. Middle of summer, and a lot of us are going up to the lake, and we have times where we can sit by the lake or get together with family, barbecues and things like that. But in the middle of your busy schedule, what we're advocating today is that you tend to your heart and you take care of your heart. You guard your heart and you spend some time with Jesus every day as a disciple of Jesus, nurturing your relationship, not just kind of letting things go by, on cruise control. That's not the life of a disciple. The life of a disciple is one who is purposeful, intentional about that relationship. Big word today, a lot of people using that word, intentional discipleship. And part of being an intentional disciple is intentionally praying and entering into a conversation. You know, my wife and I, Emily, we've been married for 37 years, going on 38 now. And I remember when we first got together years ago, back at Normandale Junior College in Bloomington, back in the 70s, when we first started to become an item, with quotes in the air there, we started to become closer. We talked to each other all the time. We really did. We would talk to each other at school. And then when I went home on my motorcycle, got home, you know what the first thing I thought about doing was? Calling her. Now, we didn't have cell phones and texting and Instagram and Meerkat and all the rest of those programs. But what we did have is we had a phone that was on the wall in the kitchen. So I get on the phone, and some of you remember back in those days, you'd get on the phone. There was no escaping your parents. You had to go downstairs somewhere and get on that phone. But I would get on the phone and I would talk to her, and then we would go to Snuffy's Malt Shop and have a malt. I mean, we got together all the time. And then when we got engaged, we thought, wow, this is really great. Just think, if we get married, we're going to spend all this time with each other. And then we got married, jobs, children, and guess what? We spent less time together than when we first met. Isn't that weird how that happens? Maybe that's what's happened in your life too, is that even in your marriage, you're thinking, we used to spend much more time together. So you know what we did is we came up with this marvelous invention. And the invention was date night. We thought, Thursday nights are going to be date night or Friday nights or whatever. And we'll get a babysitter and we will go out and we will do what we did at the beginning. We'll spend time looking at each other and talking in a relationship. In the book of Revelation, John writes to the church in Ephesus, and he basically says the same thing. He said that, doctrinally, I don't have any problems against you, church of Ephesus, but I'll tell you one thing. He said that, your relationship with the Lord needs to be renewed. You need to go back and do what you did at the beginning. And that's what Jesus may be asking you to do. If your life with Jesus, your relationship with Jesus is cold, it's just routine. You go to Mass on Sunday. Maybe you pray a little bit here and there, and maybe you even listen to a CD in the car occasionally, but you don't have a regular time with Jesus. Then I want to introduce you to Lectio Divina. Now, Lectio Divina means divine reading. And the divine reading that we're proposing here, and well, the church has been proposing for a long time, is the Sacred Scriptures. And a lot of people will say, well, I don't know the Bible that well. I really don't, but Jesus is inviting you into a conversation. So let me tell you how it goes, okay? And then we're going to take a break after that, and then Bishop Cousins is going to talk to us a little bit more. Go and deeper into Lectio Divina. So here's what Lectio Divina is. First of all, you need about 20 minutes a day, maybe 15 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes a day. You need a quiet place. You need a Bible, of course. I would suggest a notebook. And I'm kind of fond of those. Have you seen those notebooks over at some of the bookstores? Moleskine. They're called Moleskine now. I can't say it in French, but it's a small black book with a rubber binder kind of thing around it. You can keep all your notes in there. And I do encourage you during Lectio Divina to take some notes because you're going to be hearing God speak to you. And you might want to write it down for the day or to go back months later and kind of review where has the Lord been taking you throughout this year. And you want a pen. And any pen will do. You don't need a Mont Blanc or a Waterman or anything like that. Just a Bic will do. But you need a pen. And then you need some consistent time with the Lord. And here's what Lectio Divina does. We pick a portion of Scripture. It can be the gospel reading of the day. It can be going through the Psalms. It can be going through one of the epistles. It can be random, but come up with something that you want to go through, you know, fairly consistently. A lot of people take the reading of the day, the gospel of the day. St. John Paul II, he actually read every month the Gospel of John during his pontificate. Isn't that amazing? Interiorly, he owned that book. You know, you can't go through that thing every month, that book, and not own it. He owned it. But pick something. So here's what you do. First of all, there's four parts to Lectio Divina. The first part is called Lectio. It's reading in English. Reading. You're going to read a text. So, for example, if I chose Psalm 23, you're familiar with that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. And it goes on. And what you're going to do is you're going to pick that psalm, for example, and you're going to read it through once, slowly and purposefully. And it'll only take you a minute or so to read through that. And while you read through it the first time, here's what you're going to be looking out for. You're going to be looking for a word or a phrase that jumps up off the page and screams at you, I'm for you today. You could look at it another way. You could see that reading is just black text, but then suddenly one word, one phrase is like glowing. You know, it's jumping out at you and it's saying, Jeff, I'm for you today. And you want to underline it, you want to write that down in your notebook. And all you're going to do in the first phase of Lectio Divina is you're just going to read. You're not overly thinking. You're not saying, what does it mean? How does it apply to me? Nothing like that. You're just reading. You're gathering who, what, when, where. And you're finding out what speaks to you. So let's try it, shall we? Let me just read through once. And you tell me. Don't close your eyes if you're driving, but as I read it, is there a phrase or is there a word that jumps out at you? So let's try it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Six verses, Psalm 23. Now let me ask you, did one of those phrases jump out at you? Did one of those words just say to you, I'm for you today. I'm for you. You know, as I read that, one of the phrases that just jumps up at me and says, Jeff, I'm for you, is that he leads me beside still waters. That's a refreshing thought. He leads me beside still waters and he restores my soul. And so if that's the phrase that jumps out at me, then I need to write that down because that's the word for me today. From the Lord. You see how he speaks? And a little bit later on in this show, I'm going to ask Bishop Cousins, how do we know that's the Lord speaking to us, and how do we know we're not making a mistake or kind of messing it up? But for now, he leads me beside still waters. That's the word for me today. So I move on to the next phase of Lectio Divina. The first was reading, Lectio. The second is meditatio, meditation. And here I start to enter the story. I start to enter the psalm. I see myself in this psalm, and I see Jesus leading me beside still waters. And that's a meditation. You know, biblical meditation is not like the meditation that you might have learned back in the era of the Beatles, where you empty your mind of everything, you know? That's not biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is not emptying your mind. It's filling your mind, but filling it with God's Word. And it's meditating, thinking on it, contemplating on it, you know, wondering. So you got this meditation phase where you enter it and you start to see yourself, and you can ask yourself a few questions about it. Now you enter the third phase, which is oratio, which means prayer. And you start to talk to Jesus about this. Lord, you seem to be talking to me about leading me beside still waters. What are the still waters in my life, Lord? Because I sure could use them. I sure could use the refreshing waters, the still waters in my life. What are you providing for me in my life? And the Lord, you might start getting thoughts about adoration on the way home from work, or the rosary, or taking a walk, literally, and just meditating and thinking about Jesus. He'll speak to you. He will. He's very faithful at it. And so you go through the prayer phase, which is number three, and then when you're done and you have some sense of the Lord speaking to you, then you enter the fourth phase, which is contemplatio. And contemplatio is where you contemplate. It's where you just enjoy. You don't really do anything except enjoy the fruit of the first three steps. It's like a husband and wife sitting by Lake Nokomis on a bench, not even saying anything, just enjoying each other's presence. So I know that's kind of a quick walk through the four phases there, four steps of Lectio Divina, but the one after that, I guess you could add a fifth one, and that is you need to make some kind of resolve. What are you going to do today? How are you going to take this into your daily life? And so you always want to spend time with Jesus and hear what he has to say, but you also want to make sure that you do it. You know, you're a doer of the word and not just a hearer deceiving yourself. So that's a little rundown on Lectio Divina. And when we come back in just a few moments here, Bishop Andrew Cousins is going to join us. And we've got some more questions about Lectio Divina and his priesthood, Lectio Divina, and how do we know we're on target here with the church's teaching? Because I know you may be thinking that. Jeff, you're saying, I want to do this, but you know what? I don't know the faith that well. What if I mess it up? Well, we're going to talk about that. So coming up right around the bend here, right around the break, is going to be Bishop Andrew Cousins. We're talking about Lectio Divina in this portion of the show. Don't go away. Rediscover.
Hello. This is Dave Gustafson with Corporate Auto Rentals. Having a fleet of cars on the road means glass service is often needed. For several years, we have exclusively used Mike and Nancy Jasperson of Auto Glass Installed. Quality has always been great. Price is the lowest we've found. And service? Mike's service is outstanding. So ours is not a one-time experience, but years of satisfaction with Auto Glass Installed. We highly recommend them to you.
Thank you, Dave, for your kind words. Hello, I'm Nancy Jasperson, and my husband Michael and I own Auto Glass Installed and are proud Relevant Radio supporters. We have been so incredibly honored by the amount of business and support we have received from Relevant Radio listeners like you.
Please contact Auto Glass Installed for all your auto glass needs today at 763-274-0177. That's 763-274-0177. Or go to relevantradio.com and type in keyword glass. That's keyword glass.
Truth begs to be taken for the next time. All faith is shaken, we find, as all things are made right in time. All things in time.
We're very privileged today on the Rediscover Hour to have Bishop Andrew Cousins with us talking about Lectio Divina. And Bishop, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Before we speak about Lectio Divina and what it has meant in your priesthood and in your life, it's been a number of weeks since Archbishop Hebda has been here in the Twin Cities, and wondering if we could get from you kind of a state of the Archdiocese. How are we doing? Where are we at right now?
We're doing okay. That's the most important thing. And of course, we mainly rely on the fact that God is always supporting and strengthening His church. But I can tell you that I've personally experienced Archbishop Hebda as a great blessing. He's a humble man. You know, in Newark, he lived on the college dormitory floor with college students and prays night prayer with them twice a week. And he's also a holy man. He's got a great sense of peace about him, and that's really been a comfort and a help to me as we've had to make some difficult decisions about how to move the Archdiocese forward. He's also a smart man, you know. He's got a couple of law degrees, one in civil law and one in canon law, and all that's just proved to be very helpful. So I've been very grateful for him. He's been very generous with his time. He's been here almost every week at the Chancery, you know, flying back and forth between here and Newark. And the Papal Nuncio did tell him when he appointed him administrator that he wanted him to spend most of his time helping us. And so he's certainly been true to that, and is going to continue to be a presence for us, really helping just to steady and guide this ship of the Archdiocese through the time of transition. And I'm just grateful for all the ways I see God working in the Archdiocese during this time.
That's beautiful. And I know that at the Basilica Block Party, he was out shaking hands and meeting people, and people just seem to be very, very impressed with him. And thank you for the work that you're doing. I'm sure that your workload has picked up just a little bit.
Yeah, we went from three bishops to one and a half, basically. And so so it definitely, there's a lot going on, but God always provides.
As we turn our attention to Lectio Divina, which we're talking about today, give our listeners kind of a broad perspective of what does it mean when we practice Lectio Divina, and what part does this play in the church?
Yeah, so Lectio Divina, the words simply mean divine reading. And this is an ancient tradition that goes back really to the time of the fathers of the church. And it's simply the idea that Scripture is the Word of God, and so it contains objective truth, but it also is the means of the Holy Spirit to speak to us and really to speak individually to us. And so we can learn to hear God's voice through a prayerful reading of the Scripture. There are so many great examples of this. One of the most famous examples of it in the tradition of the church is St. Augustine, in his famous conversion story, where he knew that God wanted him to become a Christian and to be baptized, but he was still struggling with the virtue of chastity, as is well known from his story, which he published after becoming a bishop. You know, but he was praying in the garden and sort of crying out to God from his heart, and he heard a voice say, "Take and read," and so he picked up the Bible and, you know, this is what we call Lectio Divina by Bible bingo. He sort of just let the Bible fall open to a particular passage. But the words that his eyes fell upon spoke directly to his heart. And it basically said, "Put on Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh." It was from St. Paul. And he knew God was saying, "Be baptized, don't be afraid. You're going to get grace to overcome your struggles with chastity, and it's going to be okay." So it was the Word of God that spoke an objective truth. But it also spoke a subjective truth, and that's what Lectio Divina allows. I allow the Word of God to speak subjectively the objective truth to my particular situation.
And as we mentioned earlier in the show, when we talk about Lectio Divina, there's four major steps. There's the reading of Scripture, there's the meditating on Scripture, the prayer, and then contemplation, the four steps. And within those four steps, you have the opportunity for God to speak to you, but for you to also speak to God. And I got to ask you, you know, when you practice Lectio Divina, is it normal that God would speak to you in a personal way, or is this kind of a universal message that everybody would get the same thing out of it?
No, it's actually quite normal that God would say particular things to me. You see, when we pray, God speaks to us through what we call in the tradition our internal senses. And so our Catholic tradition has long recognized that just as we have five external senses, we have, you know, a physical hearing, touching, tasting, smelling, seeing, all those things, we also, analogously, our soul has senses. And so there's a spiritual kind of seeing, a spiritual kind of touching, a spiritual kind of tasting and hearing. Again, St. Augustine speaks about this in that famous quote when he says, you know, late have I loved you, O beauty ever ancient, ever new. He says, you shouted and you broke through my deafness, right? Mm. Well, he's not talking about his physical hearing. He's talking about a spiritual hearing. He heard God's voice for him. He says, you touched me and I burned for your peace. He's not talking about a physical sense, but he's talking about a real spiritual sense. Mm-hmm. Or think of the Psalms when it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, it doesn't mean physically, but it does mean there's a real spiritual sensing. And so through the scripture, as I allow the scriptures to speak to me, I can spiritually sense things. So this is why St. Ignatius always recommended that when I pray Lectio Divina, I use my imagination. And I put myself, I imagine myself in the scripture, and I imagine that Jesus is saying these words to me. And so with my spiritual senses, in my imagination, I hear him say that word to me. And sometimes the Holy Spirit takes over and he says or does even different things that are in the scripture. It's based off the scripture, but it applies particularly to me, which is what I, in faith, am seeking when I go to pray.
So if we were taking, say, Psalm 23, and typically Lectio Divina, you take a small portion of Scripture. Let's say we take Psalm 23. In what kind of ways would you imagine that God could use that to speak to an individual's heart?
Beautiful example. So, the Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. I might, as I meditate on that, I might, as I place myself in that scene, think of what I really desire right now. And how does that fit with what God desires for me? And as I even ask that question, what do I really want? I might be filled with a deep desire to belong to God or to be holy, and I might realize this is what God desires for me. Or, you know, another part of that psalm where he says, you know, fresh and green are the pastures where he gives me repose. One could imagine that I could even imagine myself in a green pasture with the Lord experiencing that peaceful consolation that comes from knowing he's taking care of everything. Or maybe as I'm walking with that psalm and praying with it, a particular thing in my own life comes up where I feel troubled. And I can begin to speak to the Lord about that. And I begin to apply that he's going to take care of me. With your rod and your staff, you comfort me. I apply that to that particular situation, and then I experience peace. Always remember, that's how we know normally that the Lord is speaking. Because God's word, as we see in like Mark chapter 4, he says to the ocean, be still, be quiet. And it says a great calm came over. Mm-hmm. Usually when God speaks, it calms the soul. It quiets it. St. Ignatius says it calms it and quiets it, giving it a sense of peace. That's usually the infallible sign of God's presence. And usually when God speaks and the word is tended to me, it's accompanied by that peace, which is how I know it's him.
So if you're reading scripture for, say, 2 or 3 minutes, and you might read it over at the beginning of this exercise a couple of times, and then you begin to meditate upon it, and you are sensing, as you said earlier, that the Lord is saying something to you from that scripture for today in your life. Here's a common question. How do you know you're right? How do you know that you're not in some kind of error? I know a lot of people are very kind of skittish and afraid that, well, I'm going to mess this up or I'm going to get it wrong.
Right. Well, first off, it's important to remember that generally what's ever done in charity is not going to be wrong. And so the Lord delights in my heart that is seeking him. And if I'm honestly seeking him, he's never going to let me go far astray. I might get something particularly wrong in this passage. And it is true that we have a tradition of discernment and spiritual accompaniment, even spiritual direction, and that there are some times when God says something to me in prayer, I think he's saying something, I should check it out. And of course, I always have to check it out against the objective truth of the church, right? Because God's never going to speak subjectively in contradiction with the objective truth of his church. And so, and the way that the church tells me to interpret scripture, even though he can say much more than that, he's never going to contradict himself, right? So there are guides to let me know if I'm on the right path. But there's a lot of room within those guides for the Lord to speak and direct me personally. And there is a risk I take in faith, and it's a very important risk, that I step out in faith and I begin to respond from my heart to God in a personal way. And even if I'm not sure it's God's voice, I take a step in faith that it might be God's voice, and I ask him to confirm that. And he does confirm it, as I said, by giving peace, by showing that this, in fact, leads me to a deeper relationship with him. But that risk in faith of believing in, that he wants to speak to me and then responding to that with my own desires and thoughts and fears and whatever those are, that's very important for real mental prayer, real dialogue prayer to happen.
If you just joined us, we're talking with Bishop Andrew Cousins about Lectio Divina. And Bishop, as people, you know, after this broadcast, they're going to say to themselves, I want to start doing this. I'm going to get a Bible. I'm going to get a notebook. And I'm going to get a pen. Do you have any recommendations to people in terms of time of day or place or how to make it a habit?
That's a good thing. The first thing is that it does have to become a habit for it to work. So I need, I'd say, a minimum of 15 minutes where I can have silence and non-distracted time. And I always say, well, you know, we give the first fruits to God. So when's the part of your day that you're most alert and that you're most going to be able to recollect? For me, that's first thing in the morning. And so I give that day to God, that part of the day to God. And I'd say start with 15 minutes, and at times that'll be difficult. But after you do it for some time, that won't be enough. And you might want to move into a half an hour where you're spending time in this Lectio Divina with the scripture, allowing the Lord and the conversation with the Lord to speak. And then, you know, we always begin that by consecrating that time to the Lord, by entering into consecrated space, just emotionally and spiritually. It doesn't have to be in a church, although that's a wonderful place to do it. It has to be in a place that's quiet where I can focus. And maybe having some devotional images there or something like that to help me focus. And then also to have a determine what I'm going to meditate on. That in itself is a very important thing. And I always find it's better to determine before you go to pray so you don't spend the first half of your prayer thinking, well, what should I meditate on? But determine ahead of time. Maybe I'm going to work through one of the Gospels. Maybe there's a particular spiritual theme and I want to look up scriptures on that theme. Maybe there's something that spoke to me that I heard at Mass. And my next day, my prayer time, I'm going to go back to that place where something was moving in my heart, and I want to listen to that, what he was saying. But the key is that this time is flexible time to allow the Holy Spirit to work. I don't come in with my precondition. Here's what I'm going to do every 2 minutes throughout this 15 minutes. I come in with, here's how I begin, here's how I end, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit move in the middle.
I know that we're so busy these days. You're certainly busy as a bishop, and I'm busy. Sometimes we wonder, you know, to ourselves, can I really afford to take the time, you know, to do this?
You can't afford not to.
Yeah.
And the reason is because it's just normal that I go through life living on a natural level. And so I go through my problems and my struggles, only viewing them on a natural level. And it's not really prudence, you know. The virtue of prudence has to take everything into account, including the supernatural value. So there's going to be things in my life that are very difficult that I want to get out of. But when I come to pray, God gives me peace and says, no, you have to stay in that. Mm-hmm. There's going to be things in my life that I really want to do. Mm-hmm. But when I take it to prayer, God says, no, that's selfishness or pride that makes you want to do that. You need to get out of that. How else can I live my life with God? I love the way the Catechism says it. It says, the Holy Spirit cannot direct our hearts if our hearts are far from him. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have time like this where our heart is open to listening to him every day, he's not going to be able to direct us, and then we're going to not be faithful servants.
You know that there's so many things that we're facing, you know, as an archdiocese, as individuals, in our own families, at work, and our emotions, our health, our finances, everything, that it just seems so inviting, you know, that if you could spend a few minutes with anybody in the world on a consistent basis, who would you spend it with? And then now we suddenly realize in Lectio Divina that we are invited to spend it with Jesus.
Correct.
Every day. And that's just such a warm invitation to know that I can go into every day and that I can take something into the day that I truly believe God is saying to me.
Right.
And that as I go into the day, suddenly the circumstances of life kind of handshake with that I heard in prayer, and I realize why I was meditating on that. Yeah. Has that happened to you?
Many times. It's a very important understanding that it's not always easy to do this. And so I make my time for the Lord every day because I know over the long haul the impact that's going to have on me. But there's plenty of days where it's hard and I might struggle with sleep, but there are other days where the Lord just speaks so clearly and gives great peace. I'll just give you one example. I had the privilege when I was a few years ago, to do a 30-day retreat where you actually do 5 hours of Lectio Divina every day according to the St. Ignatius' method of the retreat. And there were several moments in that where the Lord spoke very personally to me, but there was a beautiful experience I had where basically the Lord showed me in many of the meditations that I was Jesus in the world. And that's true for all of us, but especially was true for me as a priest. Like, you know, when I meditated on the Beatitudes, it was me who was preaching, and he was showing me how my preaching was impacting people and how to surrender and trust on him in my preaching. And so a lot of the meditations were him showing me how I was living Jesus in the world, like St. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, you know, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Well, the first day I was off the retreat, I celebrated Mass at the cathedral, and my parents and some friends came for that Mass because they hadn't seen me in 30 days because I was on retreat. And one of the women, who was a friend of my mom, she came up after Mass with tears in her eyes, and she said, you know, when you gave me communion today and I looked in your eyes, I saw Jesus. And she said, beautiful. No, I really, really, I saw him. Like, it was really Jesus looking at me. And she was both surprised by it and delighted. But it was for me also a beautiful confirmation of what the Lord had been showing me on retreat, which was that I'm called to be Jesus in all the circumstances of my life. And that changes even the way that I go into meetings about bankruptcy, right? That I have a certain call here that Jesus is inviting me to do.
Well, that's a beautiful thought, and we can wrap it up on that. And just say, you know, to you listening, that God has a call on your life too. You know, if you're a father and a mother, or a mother, if you are a banker, you're a teacher, you're a student, you're a son, you're a daughter, God has a vocation in your life, and he wants to speak to you more than you want to be spoken to, I would say. And he thirsts that you would thirst for him. And I think that in this meeting of Lectio Divina, that which is really stirring in your life and your heart, that anxiety can be calmed when you look into the eyes of Jesus, when you listen to his voice. He says, my sheep know my voice. And this is a beautiful opportunity for you to hear that voice. Bishop Cousins, thank you so much for stopping by on the Rediscover Hour. It's always good to catch up with you and see what's happening in your life and tap into that wisdom.
Thank you, and God bless you and all the listeners.
Thank you. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back right after this. Rediscover.
Father Rob, I'm sure so many of our listeners so overwhelmed with the war, the violence, this onslaught of ISIS, and we have now this Ebola outbreak, with everything that's going on, being so overwhelmed with so much, how do we then come back and put our trust in God?
I think about, and maybe another word of wisdom from St. Teresa, a quote that I think some of our listeners have heard because it's quite well known, but she says, "Let nothing disturb you, nothing affright you, all things are passing. God never changes. Patience attains all that it strives for. One who possesses God finds nothing lacking. God alone suffices." Maybe it's an invitation in these troubled times to a simplification, to also a patience. In a time of great difficulty, we're called to just patiently stay with the Lord, and that patience will be rewarded over time.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
Raise a glass to friendship and knowing.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you. Big event coming up August 1st here in the Twin Cities. I want to talk about that for just a few minutes. A lot of times parents will talk to their family and say, you know, we need to get involved with something. We need to give of ourselves. And I've got something for you coming up on August 1st at Spring Lake Park High School that I think your family just might want to be a part of. Have you heard of Convoy of Hope? Convoy of Hope is a great organization that helps those who are disadvantaged in a number of different ways. And we're going to talk for a few minutes here with Jeff Nina. And Jeff, do I have your last name pronounced right? Nina or Nina?
Nini.
I didn't have it right. I had two guesses.
You were close, though. That's good.
I blew both of them. But Jeff Nini is, you're the director, and you are very involved in Convoy of Hope. And we're also going to be joined by Chris Tiedemann. He's a local volunteer, going to give us kind of a local slant on this. But Jeff, your organization is called Convoy of Hope. And I'll tell you what, I love what you're doing. It's faith-based, but you really are going out and answering the call that Jesus has given all of us, aren't you?
That's it exactly, Jeff. One of the things that's really been a mainstay of our ministry is our faith drives us to do what we do, but our guests, their faith doesn't dictate what we do. It doesn't matter if there are people of faith, people of a different faith, or people of no faith at all. We really believe Jesus has called us to go out into the communities and serve them, and that's what we want to do.
That is so beautiful. Tell me real quickly, what's the history of Convoy of Hope?
It's a long history. We've been around over 20 years, but it really started when our founder, Hal Donaldson, who was a journalist in his prior life before Convoy, went to India, was doing a story there, and was introduced to Mother Teresa.
Uh-huh.
He had no idea he was going to meet her. It just all of a sudden there was the opportunity, and as they were talking, she stopped and she looked at him and she said, "Son, what are you doing to help the poor?" and he paused and he thought to himself, "Well, I better not lie to Mother Teresa." and he said, "Quite honestly, I'm not doing anything." And she said, "Son, everyone can do something." And that was a turning point in Hal's personal life. Years earlier, his father had been killed by a drunk driver, and it put their family from being lower middle class into existing on food stamps, government subsidies, and handouts from friends and neighbors. And he knew what it was like to be poor. And he and his brothers founded Convoy of Hope a little over 20 years ago in order that, you know, as many people as possible wouldn't have to go through what they went through.
Wow. Well, you bring up a topic. You know, joining us also is Chris Tiedemann. He's local here in the Twin Cities as a volunteer and someone who's working with the Convoy of Hope. And even before we went on the air, we were talking with Chris, and 3 years ago, his wife, Sarah, was taken by a drunk driver.
Oh,
and,
my.
So it's kind of a common theme between the two of you there. And Chris, you're going to be part of the big August 1st event.
I will be, Jeff. Thank you very much. I've been active in just kind of the philanthropic world, and this is a really important project, mm-hmm. a huge, wonderful event that involves so many different churches and civic groups and local governments in the area. And I was asked by a friend of mine who's deeply involved, Representative Tim Sanders, who attends one of the churches that has been active in
sure.
this, to help with this. And I do public relations professionally, and so that's what I'm working on with this organization.
So Jeff, Nini, just give us kind of a visual description, a verbal description of what Convoy of Hope is doing in the community and how they do it.
Well, when we come to Spring Lake Park High School, it's going to, if you're driving up or coming to the event or even flying over top of it, it's going to look like a carnival. There's going to be these big tents everywhere. There's going to be activities going on. There's a kids zone area, places where the kids can play and win prizes and different things like that. But there's also so much more. There's a health services tent, a community services tent, the job and career area, a place for kids to get new shoes, National Breast Cancer Foundation is a recent partner of ours for the last few years, and they're doing free screening, teaching women how to do self-exams. And one of the things that we found out is that there are so many ladies making the decision, I either feed my kids or I go get an exam. And people shouldn't be put in that position. So that's one of the things that they're really trying hard to do as part of this outreach. And Chris and his team have just done a phenomenal job. There's a real buzz around our office here in Missouri about what's going on in Minneapolis and what's going to happen there. And we do probably 30 or 40 of these events a year. But there are always a few that you go, wow, these guys get it, and they're doing it right. And Minneapolis is one of those.
Well, Chris, you explained to me earlier kind of a visual of what this is going to look like with a state fair. And Jeff, our state fair is the best state fair. Don't miss it. Don't even be late. Okay. So how is it similar to the state fair, Chris?
Well, we'll have places for entertainment, the kids zone where they can participate in things that are just entertaining things. But like Jeff had said, we also have, you know, we're working with UCARE in a partnership, and we have all sorts of health opportunities. Robbinsdale Women's Center is doing free ultrasounds, and people can really bounce back and forth to mm-hmm. different areas, whether it's job training or educational opportunities, and really get the kind of hope that we're trying to provide to people.
So who should come out to something like this?
That's a great question. I think anybody that has a need, and it's really designed for lower income, the working poor, but I would say anybody that has a need, if they have a physical need or an emotional need, a job need, even a spiritual need, to come out. One of the mainstays of this is trying to connect people to a local church.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have an area for that, the connections tent, where we try to connect them. But they're people that just need somebody to love on them.
Yep.
I mean, that's one of the mainstays of this, is that they come out and they receive hope. One of the things that we didn't mention yet is everything's free. All the services that Chris and his team are putting together, it's all free, and every adult that comes is going to go home with two bags of groceries at least.
Wow,
so it's just an amazing event, and really anybody that's in need, anybody that has a need, please come out.
Well, I appreciate, Jeff, you spending a few minutes with us telling about this, and Chris also, Chris Tiedemann, Jeff Nini. And the big event is coming up Saturday, August 1st. It starts at 10 in the morning, Spring Lake Park High School. That is over on 81st Avenue in Spring Lake Park. And if you want to go to the website to find out more information, go to convoyofhope.org/Minneapolis. That's convoyofhope.org/Minneapolis. Go support them, pray for them, get some ideas, because who knows, maybe God will call you to do something like this today. So Jeff, thanks. Chris, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that's one of the things, Paul, that's taking place in the Twin Cities among so many great
lots
things.
Of others. All grandparents are invited to a celebration in honor of patron saints, Saints Joachim and Anne, at Nativity of Our Lord in St. Paul, Monday, July 27th, a time of prayer and fellowship. And hear a special presentation by Father Joseph Bambanek entitled Being a Nurturing, Encouraging Grandparent. Sign-up begins 8:45 in Steiner Hall following 8:15 morning mass. For more information, call Nativity of Our Lord Parish.
And as you heard on the show today, Convoy of Hope is coming to Minneapolis on August 1st. This event brings hope to a city through the collaboration of organizations to help neighbors in need of resources and encouragement. There will be free groceries, health and dental screenings, family portraits and meals, and much more. Convoy of Hope Minneapolis will be held at Spring Lake Park High School. Individuals and parishes are invited to volunteer and to be a part of this event that inspires compassion and service. So for more information or to find out how you can be a volunteer, contact 763-784-7777 or go to convoyofhope.org www.cwf.org/Minneapolis.
The Siena Symposium for Women, Family, and Culture is hosting a workshop on Pope St. John Paul II's Letter to Families, Saturday, August 22nd, 9 a.m. to noon at the University of St. Thomas, St. Paul campus. Both men and women are welcome. Come for fascinating presentations on the family in preparation for the upcoming World Meeting of Families in September. Pre-register online at stthomas.edu/Siena Symposium. That's stthomas.edu/Siena Symposium.
Don't miss the St. Paul Street Evangelization Workshop taking place September 18th and 19th at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. This event will provide you with effective tools to share the gospel with the people in your parish, school, or workplace. The Office of Evangelization and Catechesis, in cooperation with the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute, is bringing this exciting opportunity to the Twin Cities. To register, go to the Events tab at archspm.org. You may also direct questions to Susanna Boley at 651-291-4411.
And this year's Leading with Faith Awards luncheon will be on Thursday, August 13th at 11:30 a.m. at the Round Horse Ballroom at St. Catherine University. Join Archbishop Bernard Hebda as he honors the 2015 Leading with Faith winners. Registration is $30. Space is limited. Register today. Go to archspm.org for more information. That's archspm.org. And what is coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, Jeff?
Well, coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to talk with Father David Bloom, the new vocations director for the Archdiocese. Father Bloom will be talking with us about the upcoming Totus Tuus Vocation Day, an event for young Catholic men and women ages 12 to 17 to deepen their faith and better discern God's calling in their lives. And we're also going to be talking about Latino Family Day, which includes a mass celebrated by our own Bishop Andrew Cousins. All that coming up on the next Rediscover Hour. Until then, remember, spend some time with Jesus today in the Word of God. He'll talk to you.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.